unlocking the mystery of death, the Bible's hopeful promise of eternal life. People have always wondered about death, a journey of uncertainty that everyone must undertake. However, the Bible offers a profound narrative that explains the fate of the soul and brings hope. Let us embark on this journey, grounded in the eternal truths of the Bible, to understand what happens to us when we. The Bible teaches that death is not an end but a transition. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, we often read, "And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." This fundamental truth highlights that our physical bodies decompose and return to the earth, while our spirits return to God. Jesus himself, in Luke 23:46, demonstrates this truth. As he hung on the cross, moments before his death, he cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With these words, he showed that our spirits are entrusted to God at the moment of death. For believers, the Bible promises an immediate transition into the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5:8, confidently states, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." This assurance that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord offers immense comfort. Moreover, in Philippians 1:23, Paul expresses his personal longing, saying, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." For those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, death is not a fearful unknown, but a glorious reunion with the Savior. While our spirits immediately enter God's presence after death, the Bible also speaks of a future event, the resurrection of the dead. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, Paul describes this event, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." The Bible teaches that after the resurrection, we will face judgment. For believers, this is known as the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul writes, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." This judgment is not about determining our eternal destiny, that is secured through faith in Christ, but about assessing our works and rewarding us accordingly. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, 15, Paul explains that our works will be tested by fire, and those built on the foundation of Christ will endure, earning us rewards, while those of lesser value will be burned away. For those who do not know Christ, the Bible speaks of a different judgment. In Revelation 20:11, 15, John describes the great white throne judgment. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Those whose names are not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, a place of eternal separation from God. This sobering reality underscores the importance of accepting Christ's offer of salvation. The final chapters of Revelation paint a breathtaking picture of the eternal state for believers. In Revelation 21, 1-4, John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" This vision of the new heaven and new earth reveals the culmination of God's redemptive plan, a restored creation where believers will dwell in perfect fellowship with God, free from pain, sorrow, and death. As we reflect on the biblical narrative of what happens when we die, we are reminded of the centrality of faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, encapsulates this truth. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The promise of eternal life is not merely a distant hope, but a present reality for those who trust in Christ. In John 11:25-26, Jesus declares, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? This question echoes through the ages, inviting each of us to place our faith in Jesus and receive the gift of eternal life. The Bible's teachings about death and the afterlife offer a profound and hopeful vision that transcends the fears and uncertainties of mortality. By trusting in Christ, we are assured of a glorious future beyond the veil, where we will dwell in the eternal presence of our loving Creator. Through the Bible, we understand that death is not the end, but the beginning of a new life with the Savior. May this truth inspire us to live with purpose, faith, and an unwavering hope in the promises of God. To understand what happens after death, we must first comprehend the origin of death itself. The Bible's account begins in the Garden of Eden, where God created the first humans, Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2:7, we read, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." This verse highlights the divine origin of human life, a unique creation made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. God placed Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them a command. "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die," Genesis 2:16-17. This command established the parameters of their existence and introduced the concept of death as a consequence of disobedience. Tragically, in Genesis 3, we witness the fall of humanity. Tempted by the serpent, Eve and Adam ate the forbidden fruit, bringing sin and death into the world. "For dust you are, and to dust you will return," Genesis 3:19, became the reality of human existence. This original sin set the stage for the grand narrative of redemption that unfolds throughout the scriptures. Death, as described in the Bible, marks the separation of the soul from the body. Ecclesiastes 12:7 poignantly captures this moment. "And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." This verse encapsulates the dual nature of human beings, mortal bodies and immortal spirits. At death, the physical body returns to the earth, while the spirit ascends to the presence of God. Jesus Christ's own death exemplifies this transition. In Luke 23:46, as Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With these words, he demonstrated that our spirits are entrusted to God at the moment of death. This immediate transition offers profound comfort and assurance to believers, knowing that their souls are in the hands of a loving Creator. The Bible provides glimpses into the immediate post-mortem state through Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16:19-31. In this story, Lazarus, a poor beggar, is carried by angels to Abraham's side, also known as paradise, upon his death. The rich man, in contrast, finds himself in Hades, a place of torment. This parable illustrates the distinct destinies of the righteous and the unrighteous after death. Paradise, as described in the parable, is a place of comfort and rest for the righteous. Jesus himself referred to paradise when he assured the repentant thief on the cross, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43. For those who have placed their faith in Christ, death ushers them into this blessed state, a foretaste of the eternal joy to come. Hades, on the other hand, is depicted as a temporary abode of the dead, a place of conscious existence for the unrighteous awaiting final judgment. This intermediate state underscores the urgency of repentance and faith in Christ, for it determines one's eternal destiny. While the soul's immediate destination provides comfort or distress, the Bible also speaks of a future event, the resurrection of the dead. This event marks the reunion of soul and body, transformed and glorified, to live eternally. The Apostle Paul expounds on this mystery in 1 Corinthians 15, a chapter often referred to as the resurrection chapter. In 1 Corinthians 15:20-22, Paul proclaims, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." This passage highlights Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits, the guarantee of our own future resurrection. Paul further describes the nature of the resurrection body in 1 Corinthians 15:42, 44. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. This transformation signifies a complete renewal, where our mortal, frail bodies are raised incorruptible and glorified. The culmination of this resurrection hope is vividly depicted in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. This passage offers a breathtaking vision of the final reunion of believers with Christ, a moment of indescribable joy and fulfillment. Following the resurrection, believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is distinct from the Great White Throne judgment and is reserved for those who have placed their faith in Jesus. Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The purpose of this judgment is not to determine eternal destiny that is secured through faith in Christ, but to assess our works and reward us accordingly. In 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, Paul uses the analogy of a builder to illustrate this process. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. For those who do not know Christ, the Bible speaks of the Great White Throne Judgment, a solemn and final judgment described in Revelation 20:11, 15. John writes, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books." This judgment scene is one of profound gravity. The books that are opened contain the deeds of every individual, serving as a basis for judgment. However, the most crucial book is the book of life. John continues, "Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Revelation 20:15. The lake of fire represents the ultimate and eternal separation from God, a place of unending torment and despair. This stark reality underscores the urgency of the gospel message, calling people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ to escape this dreadful fate. The Bible's narrative of what happens after death culminates in the glorious vision of the new heaven and new earth. Revelation 21:22 offers a breathtaking depiction of the eternal state for believers, where God's redemptive plan reaches its consummation. In Revelation 21:1, 4, John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" This passage reveals the ultimate destiny of believers, a restored creation where we will dwell in perfect fellowship with God. The imagery of the New Jerusalem descending from heaven signifies the union of heaven and earth, a place where God's presence permeates every aspect of existence. The promise of no more death, mourning, crying, or pain encapsulates the complete and eternal restoration of all things. In Revelation 22, John continues this vision, describing the river of the water of life, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, Revelation 22:1-2. This imagery evokes the original Garden of Eden, now fully restored and glorified, a place of abundant life and unending communion with God. As we journey through the biblical narrative of what happens when we die, we are continually reminded of the centrality of faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible's teachings about death and the afterlife are not merely theological abstractions, but urgent calls to embrace the gift of salvation. John 3:16, one of the most beloved verses in the Bible, encapsulates this invitation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The promise of eternal life is not just a future hope, but a present reality for those who trust in Christ. Jesus himself declared, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? John 11:25-26. This question, posed by Jesus to Martha, reverberates through the ages, inviting each of us to respond in faith. The Bible's narrative of death and the afterlife offers a profound and hopeful vision that transcends the fears and uncertainties of mortality. By trusting in Christ, we are assured of a glorious future beyond the veil, where we will dwell in the eternal presence of our loving Creator. The biblical understanding of what happens when we die profoundly impacts how we live our lives. Knowing that our earthly existence is but a prelude to eternity calls us to live with purpose, faith, and an unwavering hope in the promises of God. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, expresses this perspective. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1:21. Living in light of eternity means investing in what truly matters, our relationship with God and our service to others. Jesus' teachings emphasize this eternal perspective, urging us to lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Matthew 6:19-20. Our lives should reflect the values of the kingdom of God, marked by love, compassion, and a fervent desire to share the gospel with those who have yet to hear. The certainty of the resurrection and the hope of eternal life inspire us to persevere through trials and tribulations. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:58 are a fitting conclusion to our exploration. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." As we conclude this detailed journey through the Scriptures, let us hold fast to the hope and assurance that God's Word provides. Death is not the end, but the beginning of an eternal adventure with our Savior, Jesus Christ. May this truth inspire us to live with purpose, faith, and an unwavering hope in the promises of God, knowing that our ultimate destiny is to dwell in His glorious presence forever. The Bible's narrative of life after death offers a compelling and hope-filled vision that transcends our mortal fears and uncertainties. It calls us to faith, inspires us to live with eternal purpose, and assures us of a glorious future with our Creator. Let us embrace these truths and live in the light of eternity.